In this lecture, we shall look at the detailed rules concerning the administration of inheritance tax. Responsibility for the general administration of inheritance tax rests with the HMRC inheritance tax. Over the course of the next two sessions, we shall look at various practical matters concerning the filing of inheritance tax returns and the payment of the IHT itself. In this session, we shall look closely at Section 216 of the Inheritance Tax Act, which specifically deals with the submission of IHT returns. We shall also look at related matters, such as the revenue's powers to obtain information and the penalty provisions for late or incorrect returns. We will also look at the payment of IHT, including the rules which enable individuals and executors to pay their inheritance tax by instalments. These payment rules will be covered in the next session. Let us start by looking at Section 216, which deals with the delivery of IHT returns. If an individual makes a chargeable lifetime transfer, i.e. a gift to a discretionary trust, details of the transfer must be disclosed on an IHT return to the revenue. The return should be made by the donor on Form IHT 100. If an individual makes a potentially exempt transfer, no return is required unless the pet becomes chargeable. Details of pets do not need to be included on the donor's normal self-assessment return. If the donor dies within 7 years, such that the pet becomes chargeable to IHT, it must be reported to the revenue at that point, because tax may be due on the failed pet. Under Section 216, it is the donee who has a responsibility to disclose details of the pet to HMRC, and to submit an IHT return to the HMRC inheritance tax. Finally, an inheritance tax return will be due in respect of the death estate. The persons responsible for completing and submitting the return are the executors or personal representatives of the deceased. The return will include details of all assets in the estate for IHT purposes, together with any liabilities owned by the deceased at the date of death. The executors have no statutory obligation to include details of assets deemed to form part of the death estate under the gifts with reservation rules. These should be reported by the donee, as it is the donee, not the executors, who will pay the tax. There is, however, space on the form IHT 400 for the executors to give details of assets subject to a reservation, as this will obviously affect the total IHT payable. Because the IHT payable by the executors is affected by any lifetime transfers made by the deceased in the 7 years before death, details of these chargeable transfers must also be included in the executor's IHT return. The executors therefore have a statutory duty to disclose details of both chargeable lifetime transfers and potentially exempt transfers made by the deceased in the 7 years before his death. You will see, therefore, that where a pet has been made by a donor in the 7 years prior to his death, details of this failed pet must be included within two different returns, one to be filed by the donee, the other to be filed by the executors of the estate. In this instance, the legislation tells us that a person is not required to deliver a return in respect of any property if a full and proper account of that property has already been delivered by another person. This means that if details of the pet are included in the executor's IHT return, no separate return needs to be submitted by the donee. The same principles apply for chargeable lifetime transfers within 7 years of death. As details of these transfers will be included on the executor's return, no separate return needs to be submitted by the trustees of the discretionary trust. Form IHT 400 is now used for all death estates. There is an exception for accepted estates, as we shall see later in this session. The statutory due date for the delivery of an IHT return is 12 months from the end of the month in which the chargeable transfer took place. This chargeable transfer will either be a gift to a discretionary trust or the death of the transferor. In the case of IHT returns on death, the due date is extended to 3 months from the date the executors first start to act. In most cases, the executors will start to act from the date of death, so this extended due date is not an issue. One of the first duties of an executor or personal representative will be to apply for probate. Probate is the formal process by which the executors obtain legal title to the assets of the deceased. In order to make a formal application for probate, the executors must have evidence that the IHT return has been submitted to the revenue. Therefore, in practice, the form IHT 400 is usually submitted well before the statutory due date to ensure that probate is granted. If the return turns out either to be incorrect or incomplete, the executors may submit amended or corrective accounts on Form C4. Such accounts should be submitted within 6 months of the executors discovering that the original return is incorrect. The self-assessment system that exists for income tax and corporation tax does not apply formally for inheritance tax. However, the executors will calculate the IHT payable on the face of the form IHT 400, and payment of the tax is usually remitted with the IHT return. There is often, therefore, no need for the HMRC to raise a formal assessment to collect the inheritance tax. Instead, HMRC will confirm receipt of the return and the IHT, and the executors will use this formal confirmation when applying for probate. As we mentioned earlier, no IHT return is required if the estate is accepted. In simple terms, an accepted estate is a small estate on which no IHT is payable. The definition of an accepted estate is contained in Statutory Instrument 2004/2543. There are three types of accepted estate. For the first type, which is the more common, the deceased must have died domiciled in the UK. The estate must not include any assets subject to a reservation. Any settled property in the estate must not be worth more than £150,000. Settled property means assets in a trust in which the deceased had an entitlement to income. In addition, the estate must not include foreign assets worth more than £100,000, and any lifetime transfers in the 7 years before death must not exceed £150,000. Finally, the IHT threshold must not have been exceeded. The IHT threshold is generally the nil band for the year of death, but if the death occurs before 6th of August in the tax year, and a probate application is made before that date, the nil band for the previous year is used. To decide whether the threshold has been exceeded, we must aggregate the death estate with lifetime transfers in the preceding 7 years, ignoring any APR or BPR. The second type of accepted estate is also quite common. An estate is accepted if the deceased died domiciled or deemed domiciled in the UK, any settled property in the estate is less than £150,000, foreign assets in the estate did not exceed £100,000, lifetime transfers in the 7 years before death did not exceed £150,000. The gross estate plus lifetime transfers in the preceding 7 years, plus exempt transfers in the last 7 years, do not exceed £1 million. The IHT threshold has not been exceeded. In this case, gifts to spouses or charities can be disregarded. The third type is less likely to be found in practice. This is where the deceased had never been domiciled or deemed domiciled in the UK. The UK estate must consist only of cash and quoted investments and must not be worth more than £150,000. Although there is no requirement to make a return if the above conditions are satisfied, a simple form, either IHT 205 or IHT 207, will be completed on application for probate. This form contains basic details about the estate and is passed on to HMRC. A startling statistic issued by HMRC is that around 95% of all estates are free of inheritance tax. This is due to a combination of factors such as the generous nil band and the wide array of exemptions and reliefs, in particular 100% business property relief. Similarly, no return needs to be made in respect of an accepted transfer. If a donor makes a chargeable lifetime transfer, he will normally be required to file an IHT return. However, No return is required in either of two cases. These rules can be found in Statutory Instrument No. 605 of 2008. Firstly, no return is needed where the transfer comprises cash or quoted shares, and the aggregate value of the transfer, together with chargeable transfers in the previous 7 years, does not exceed the nil rate band. Secondly, no return is needed where the aggregate value of the transfer, together with chargeable transfers in the previous 7 years, does not exceed 80% of the nil rate band, and the value of transfer, ignoring BPR and APR, does not exceed the available net nil rate band. Where a transferor or an executor fails to make a return as required by Section 216, HMRC may issue a Notice of Determination. This enables HMRC to start legal proceedings to recover any IHT due. Such powers to make determinations are contained in Section 221. HMRC will also consider making a determination where they require additional information from the taxpayer to enable the IHT liability to be finalised. The Notice of Determination is, in effect, an assessment which charges IHT on a transfer of value which has been determined by HMRC. HMRC has power to issue a determination either in accordance with a return submitted or in estimated figures. Under Section 221, HMRC may make a determination to the best of their judgment. The Notice of Determination is often intended to act as a lever to obtain information from the transferor or the executors. Under Section 222, the recipient can appeal against a determination by notice in writing. The appeal must be made within 30 days and must specify the grounds for the appeal. Strictly speaking, appeals should be made to the tribunal, although in practice they will be dealt with by HMRC. Appeals will ultimately be determined by agreement with HMRC. The Inheritance Tax Act gives HMRC power to obtain information and to call for certain documents, and these powers are contained at Sections 219 and 219A. Let us start with Section 219. Section 219 gives HMRC power to issue a notice requiring any person to supply them with information as specified within the notice. Section 219 is very wide-ranging, in that HMRC can issue the notice to any person, not just the person responsible for submitting the IHT return. Therefore, Section 219 notices can be issued to third parties, with the exception of barristers or solicitors, whose professional privilege should not be compromised. Because Section 219 gives HMRC very wide powers, the consent of the tribunal is required before a notice can be issued. The tribunal will only give consent if it can be satisfied that HMRC is justified in proceeding with the Section 219 notice. The recipient has a minimum period of 30 days to produce the information as specified in the notice, and there are penalties for a failure to comply. HMRC also have powers under Section 219A to call for documents. The main difference between the two provisions is that under Section 219A, a notice may only be issued to a person who has delivered or is liable to deliver an inheritance tax return under Section 216. Therefore, Section 219A notices may not be issued to third parties. Because powers under Section 219A are more limited, HMRC does not require the consent of the tribunal to issue a notice. Once again, the recipient has a minimum of 30 days to comply with the notice. A recipient has a right to appeal against the issue of a Section 219A notice. The appeal should be made to the tribunal.